Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today's the celebration of the exaltation of the cross of Christ. What the devil meant for evil, God took that instrument of evil, the cross, and turned it into a sign, a symbol of victory. The great victory has been won for us in Christ Jesus on the cross. We celebrate it today. We exalt the Lord and we give him praise. And so I want to begin with a prayer today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the offering of your life on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you bore the cross. You carried it for us. I ask you, Lord, today as we reflect together on what you did for us, that act of love by which we have been saved, that act of love through which the whole kingdom of darkness was brought down, the kingdom of the enemy. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us grasp the mystery and the meaning of the cross as you teach us to carry the crosses in our lives. Those of us who are listening today, you bore our griefs, right? You carried our sorrows. And through your passion, death, and resurrection, you united yourself to us and gave yourself completely to us in baptism. And now by your grace, we share in the victory you won on the cross. You are King and Lord of all. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. So today we're given a variety of readings. I thought I'd touch on the second reading, a little bit on the gospel as well. You know, the gospel is the famous passage from John chapter 3. I'll start there with Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus came at night. You know, he snuck out to talk with Jesus. He was a man who was becoming a believer, maybe a follower of Jesus. He certainly did not relate to Jesus like many of the others in the Sanhedrin did. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who comes down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." So here's Jesus' mission, his vocation, what he came to do. He came to die. He came to be an offering, a sacrifice for sin. He came to be lifted up on the cross because it was that instrument, as it was praying, it was that act of love that brought down the kingdom of darkness and opened the way to heaven, to life with our Father, to be united with God for all eternity. And the passage goes on, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Jesus' self-understanding and what he reveals to Nicodemus, the core, the central reality of what he came to accomplish and what was being revealed. What's being revealed is God loves. God is love. God so loved. So the whole mission of Jesus and his road to Calvary originates in the heart of a loving Father who sends his Son, his most precious gift, for the purpose of bringing this race of people fallen who bear his image from darkness to light. The whole focus of Jesus wasn't come to just fix the world. He came to bring about eternal life, to make it possible for people to escape condemnation that's in the world and to be saved from the judgment that will ultimately come upon the world. Thanks be to God. St. Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians, I love 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He said, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God." The cross is the power of God. That's why We exalt it because that power that's in the cross, in Christ's offering of his life on the cross, is the greatest power in the universe. There's nothing greater, because at the core of it is the love of God being revealed. And it's that act of love that literally destroyed the powers of the world, the flesh and the devil, the powers of sin and death, and the reign of the kingdom of darkness over human hearts, and made salvation possible. Verse 19 there in that same passage says, it is saved by, you know, the cross is the power of God. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will thwart the cleverness of the clever. Where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? The wisdom of the Greeks, the wisdom of everybody is made foolish. The wisdom of God is revealed perfectly. There's a deeper wisdom than what even the best of human beings have come up with just through reason. Verse 21, it says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Isn't that beautiful? It pleased God to reveal himself through the gospel, the good news about Jesus, the good news about what happened in his life, passion, death, and resurrection. And it says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then he goes on to say that God, he manifests the pride of human beings and reveals the emptiness or shallowness of our wisdom. And he reveals the perfectly what's at the heart of eternal wisdom. The eternal wisdom of God is the love of God, the humility of God. We see that in the second reading today from Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11, the beautiful hymn that St. Paul gives to us. His brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. In the form of God, Jesus shares that the divine nature, right? He is the eternally begotten Son of God. And rather than clinging to it, coming to earth and just manifesting it, and totally revealing his power to the point of destroying all his enemies in an instant and bringing everybody to their knees in an instant, he had a pathway that the Father set before him. He had a road to walk. And that road which he is the leader in, this is the road you and I are called to walk. This is why, this is the most, maybe the most important thing about our celebration today and our meditation on the exaltation of the cross. At the center of Christianity, the center of the life of a disciple is the cross. Let's continue. It says, rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant or slave, and coming in human likeness. So how did he empty himself? He took on human form. The Creator entered his own story, and he takes on human flesh. He becomes one of us. He empties himself. And we should pray today. I need to pray more. Lord, help me understand just what you did there. It's such a mystery, but the level of condescension and self-emptying that you went through is, it's impossible for us to grasp apart from the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, help us see. And what does he want us to see? That he united himself to us. He loves us. He came to communicate to us what God the Father thinks about us and what his plan is for us. He came to show us how to live and where happiness is, to turn the light on about what it means to be a human being and where the real gold is for human beings. What that is, the real value, what's at the center, the most important stuff. So he was found in human appearance. And here's, I think, the key. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. I said many times on the program, the beautiful passage from John 14, I think it's verse 31, where Jesus in the Last Supper discourse is talking to the apostles, saying, I'm not going to be with you much longer. The devil's coming after me. He said, but I want you to know, my brothers, my friends, the devil has no hold on me. The devil's not in control. He likes to think he's in control. And it can look to just the eyes of the flesh like he is in control, but he's not. Jesus said, but so don't get distracted by that. And don't get distracted at the trouble that's about to unfold, but understand I'm in control. And he said, here's what I want you to know. I do everything the Father commands me. So Jesus is communicating his motive, the movement of his heart, his greatest desire, his entire purpose, the whole meaning of his life. The meaning of his life is to walk in obedience to the Father, not to put his own brand in lights, so to speak, or to advance his particular cause or interest. And no, what was it about? And this is the precious, precious gift that he's left us for us to see so we don't get lost. He said, this is the road to travel. Talk about the road less traveled. This is it. He humbled himself. And how does a person, how do we humble ourselves? Becoming obedient, even unto death. To be radically committed to obedience, Jesus said, obedience is the love language of heaven, in so many words. He put it to us, right? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, it's clear you don't love me. And Jesus is saying, this is how love is expressed. For the creature to offer his life, her life, to the Creator. To walk in obedience is life. And it's not because God's insecure and he needs to keep us under his thumb or under his heel or something crazy like that. Obedience is what brings us into God's life. Obedience to God is good, is really good. Now, the flesh hates it. The flesh recoils against it. The flesh is, hey, I want my will done. I don't want anybody else's will done. But Jesus gives us this precious road to travel. He reveals to us with his entire life, communicating to us with his arms wide open, what is at the core of all reality. What's most meaningful? Why were you made? And what life, what path will lead you to eternal happiness? Becoming obedient from the heart, walking in the footsteps of our Lord. And so then the hymn turns and it says, because of this, well, because of what? Because of his humbling himself, becoming obedient, because of his total obedience from the heart, it says, because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. He didn't come to say, hey, this is my name. I'm going to assert myself. I'm going to get everybody to pay attention to me and my name. I'm going to make a name for myself. No, it's not what he did. He came in obedience to the Father, and he left everything in the Father's hands, his own future, his own destiny. And he said, this is the place of safety. This is the place of meaning. This is the place where I will always have life. It's with my Father, and my Father is life for me. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's where human history is going. I want to pick up on that tomorrow. Hope you can join me. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.